This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. And John, thanks for being with us as always.
Thanks for having me.
Well, busy week here in Washington in a lot of different ways. Let's start with Wednesday evening's presidential debate among Republicans at the Reagan Library. This is the event that really postponed the president's speech on jobs till Thursday, not necessarily the House schedule. That had something to do with it as well. Going into the debate, most eyes were on Texas Governor Rick Perry, since it was his first time in the debate ring with these other candidates, and because he's now leading most of the national polls, as well as some of the key state polls. How high were the expectations, and how did he do?
Well, I think it was more anticipation than expectation regarding Governor Perry. He is untested in national politics, as you say, and shall we say this was his debut. I wouldn't call it an Academy Award presentation, but it was certainly worthy of getting him into the highest levels of dramatics, perhaps a starring role. He parried and thrusted, so to speak. He handled himself well in questions, and he never backed down from any of his past statements, notably his comment in his book about Social Security being a Ponzi scheme. I think there was an element of freshness about him, but let's not write off Governor Romney. He showed that he could attack and thrust, not get personal. I'd say that the two heavyweight contenders for the nomination are clearly Romney and Perry, while Ron Paul demonstrates that he can weave and bob.
The other seeming consensus, at least from the punditocracy, which we're a part of, I guess, is that it was not a good performance for Michelle Bachmann, that she probably took a step back. Would you concur?
Well, I'm sorry to say that Michelle Bachmann is a victim of raised expectations. She did so well in the first debate. She has scored well in presentations around the country, notably when she won the Ames straw vote recently. So when she has an evening when she's quiet and doesn't say anything truly memorable, it's a loss for her. Now, again, she didn't speak for the first 14 minutes. Anyone who is skipped over that long is a victim of the luck of the draw.
One of the things that also came out of the debate, and this will be a good transition in the president's speech for tonight, and that was Newt Gingrich telling the moderator, "I know you're trying to get us to bicker with each other, but the point is that any one of us on this stage, in his opinion, would be better than President Obama." Do you feel like the candidates made Obama the target last night, or was it more each other?
Well, once again, and I'm a victim of what our colleagues in the punditocracy are saying, Greg, Perry and Romney were spirited and combative, but it never got ugly between the two of them. And it won't get ugly in future debates. The fact is that very much like the Republicans in 1979, they don't know who their nominee is going to be, but they know they do not want the incumbent for four more years. And as it was when Ronald Reagan secured the nomination, all criticism will cease when Mr. or Mrs. X secures the Republican nomination sometime next year. I have a feeling they're going to take a little longer than Governor Reagan did.
Let's move on to the president's speech now. It's gotten diminished, it seems, to some extent, since it's not starting in prime time, as he initially wanted it to be on Wednesday night. Yeah, he's starting at 7 Eastern time, which will hopefully fit the speech in before the kickoff of the NFL season. The Republicans not even bothering to issue a formal rebuttal, which has made Nancy Pelosi none too happy. Do you suspect that this really diminishes the speech in any way, or is this just all theatrics?
Well, once again, pardon me if I'm a little cynical about the current occupant of the White House, Greg, but I've covered him since his first day in office. He was a very different kind of president, or so we thought. He certainly was a unique candidate, vowing change, and as he put it, not looking like the presidents who appear on the currency. Well, that said, he has turned out to offer nothing fresh or innovative. His new ideas and new vision are the same old stuff, semper idem, always the same in Latin. And what he will do is talk about reducing the payroll tax, something that has not worked in the last 6 months. He will talk about, as he did on Labor Day, Americans ready to get dirty in infrastructure jobs That came in the Recovery Act package and has really shown no blips on the screen, no dramatic increase in jobs. And I'm sure he will talk about trying to lift some of the environmental protection regulations as his version of compromise. I'm sorry, I've heard it all before. There's nothing new that's going to come out tonight.
Well, John, let's get to another couple of topics in our remaining moment or two here. First of all, the big kerfuffle in the early part of this week was the comments made by Teamsters President James Hoffa, son of Jimmy Hoffa, at the rally in Michigan and introducing President Obama. Talked about how it was a war between the working people and the Tea Party. Told President Obama that he had an army ready to march to take out the SOBs, although he didn't abbreviate. And so a lot of folks basically saying that it's up to the president to denounce such language, given what he said in the wake of the Tucson shooting. A little bit of a tap dance, to say the least, from Jay Carney on that issue this week. How is it shaking out?
Well, it was a tap dance, all right, because the question came from ABC's Jake Tapper. And he reminded Jay that in 08, when candidate McCain was introduced by a talk show host, in fact, that was Bill Cunningham, a very popular Cincinnati radio talk show host, he simply said the president's name in full and called him a Daily-style Chicago Democratic politician. A little different from the language employed by Brother Hoffa. And yet Senator McCain promptly disassociated himself from Cunningham and said there would be no more introductions like that. He took his opponent's call for civility at face value. President Obama's spokesman will not even admit he heard Mr. Hoffa make those remarks. And that's one more thing, Greg. I interviewed James Hoffa when he was running for Teamster president 14 years ago. At that time, he promised a Teamster union that would not be a wholly owned subsidiary or an ATM machine for the Democratic Party. He was going to be like past Teamster presidents. Dave Beck, his father, James Hoffa, Jackie Presser, who supported Republicans from Eisenhower to Reagan and the elder Bush. When I look at that kind of rhetoric and see the Teamsters giving more than 90% of their campaign dollars to Democrat, I think a lot of people who voted for him and took him at his word are going to say, Mr. Hoffa, we was conned.
John, real quickly, you called it in the wake of the Wiener resignation in New York's 9th Congressional District. You said this heavily Democratic district could very well go Republican. It's still yet to be seen what will happen next Tuesday in the special election. But the latest poll suggests the Republican Bob Turner is up 4 points on the Democrat David Weprin. Tell me why the Republicans are doing so well in this district.
Because there's a lot of people in a district that's 3-1 Democratic in registration who are plain upset at the man who's going to be addressing Congress and the nation tonight. And the New York Times has had many anecdotal interviews on this. Many prominent Democrats, from former Mayor Ed Koch to Assemblyman Dove Hykand, have said they are supporting Mr. Turner over Assemblyman Weprin, the son of a former Speaker of the New York Assembly. Again, it would be astounding if this happens, but we've seen a lot of other races turn this way. And one more thing, that in that district, the Orthodox Jewish community, which Congressman Wiener always counted on, is in droves coming over to Republican Turner because Mr. Weprin voted for the gay marriage law that came up in the state legislature. It's going to be close. It'll depend on turnout, but don't be surprised if you hear a lot of people talking about New York 9 on Wednesday morning.
And you're saying an easy win for Republicans, or at least a comfortable win in Nevada, too, in the race to replace Senator Dean Heller, who took over for John Ensign.
Republican Mark Amaday is linking his opponent to Barack Obama and Joe Biden and running pictures of her with the two of them. He'll make it a referendum on the administration, and the administration's not going to do too well in northern Nevada.
Well, we'll be watching Tuesday night into Wednesday morning. John, as always, pleasure to have you with us.
Holding my breath, keeping my fingers crossed, and dreading the election after. If I'm wrong, I'm John Gizzi.
John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.